All right, happy Mother's Day. I know, moms, that you already know this, but I want to say it. I want you to hear it from me, and because we're always good for a reminder. But being a mom is the most important and most thankless job there is. And so thank you for that. You moms are largely responsible for shaping the culture of our future. I know sometimes it feels like it's just a never-ending cycle of like laundry and driving kids around, but you are like literally creating the culture of the future through being a mom. So thank you. You definitely deserve more than one day of the year to be recognized, but hopefully at least today you will be recognized by your family for all that you do for us. So thank you. Thank you, moms. I remember Brooke's first Mother's Day. My son Zach, my oldest son, was born in November 2007, so this would have been May 2008. And my parents came to town from Washington, D.C., and they wanted to see the baby again and celebrate with Brooke and her first Mother's Day. So it was a very exciting weekend. Now, on Mother's Day itself, my parents decided they would take us out to CI Shenanigans for lunch out on Ruston. And Zach was about 6 months old, so we're still kind of getting used to the whole, you know, getting the kid ready to get out the door with all the stuff that involved. It's still a challenge for us at this stage in life. And remember, I live out in Port Orchard, so Ruston, that's like a good 30-minute drive in addition to all the, like, getting the kid ready to get him out the door type stuff. So when you add all of that stuff together, it's kind of an ordeal to get out there. But you only get one first Mother's Day, and so, you know, we were excited for Brooke, and we were excited for a chance to have a nice lunch. Well, we show up to the restaurant, and there was a 40-minute wait. Okay, all right, I'm glad. There was a lot of, like, young parents in the first service, and there was, like, this collective gasp of, like, oh, no. Yeah, so 40 minutes, you think, well, that's pretty standard for a restaurant, right? But when you're a parent of a baby, that's a really, really big deal. Because remember, this is after a 30-minute drive and after, like, all of the getting ready to get out the door. And when you have a nursing baby, you are on a constant timer, right? And there is this constant cycle of feeding and sleeping and napping. As soon as you feed that baby, the timer starts, right? And you're on a timer. You got to get through that cycle before it's time to do it all over again. So Brooke and I were both very uneasy about this wait time at this restaurant because we knew we were on the clock. But fortunately, it was a nice day. It was sunny, kind of like it is right now. And so, you know, we could be outside with Zach and kind of bounce him around. And it was a good thing because he was restless. He was restless. In fact, the longer we waited, the more restless he got. And if you ever had like a difficult baby, I think you can kind of predict where this story is going. You know how babies get. First, they start making noises. There's that little like I'm not happy sound, right? Some of you, it's bringing flashbacks. Then they start kind of like, what's it? You want me to do it again, Johnny? So I know that trick. Then you know, they start wiggling a little bit, and then the noises get a little bit more spirited, right? And then they start kind of thrashing, and then it's full out crying. And honestly, I wish some of those behaviors were socially acceptable for adults, because I can identify. But Zach, he was progressing through the stages of baby agitation, and we knew we were not going to make it. Right, we knew he was headed to a full-on meltdown. And this was discouraging to us because it was Brooke's first Mother's Day and we were looking forward to like a nice lunch, one that didn't involve any cooking or dishes afterwards. And so bummed about it. Well, finally, by minute 35 or so, Zach was in just full meltdown. And Brooke was like, okay, I'm just going to take him back to the car and I'm going to nurse him, and hopefully this is what's going to calm him down. And so I went with her, and we both, you know, we went in the car, and my family was inside the restaurant waiting for a table. And Zach just, he's screaming, and he was not going to eat. And we, you know, we both knew what was happening. Like, he's done, right? There was no way we were going to get to enjoy a Mother's Day lunch at a restaurant. It was over. We just needed to go home. And we had the same conversation in the car that day that we had time and time again in those first 9 months of Zach's life. And that was, how come nobody told us that being a parent was so hard, right? How do people do this? How do they have more than one kid? How come nobody told us any of this stuff? Mike Tyson famously said about boxing strategy, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face, right? I think the same can be said about parenting strategies, right? Everybody's got a parenting plan until you've got a kid that is screaming inconsolably. You make the plans, but kids have ways of being like, nope, right? They just do that. Which brings us to today and our special baby dedication Sunday. Parenting is a joy. I know that was in an awkward transition. Parenting is a joy. But it's also hard. Parenting is hard, okay? And we need to admit that. And you cannot do it alone. And your biological parents can be a great resource for helping you raise your children. But often you need more than that. And the vision for the church in the New Testament is that the church is the family of God. It's the place where our common common confession, our common faith, and our common baptism supersede even blood ties. In short, the church should be here for you as you raise your children, because your children are part of our spiritual family. So today we're going to dedicate some babies, but before we do that, I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about baby dedications, you know, what they are and why we do them. And then the families are going to come up, and you're going to get to meet the little ones, and you're going to hear what their name means, and they each get a verse. And then after that, I'm going to read some commitments. It's almost like a wedding vow type thing. Do you commit to doing this? And they're going to say, we do. And then I have some commitments for you, because this involves the church as well. I'm going to say, do we as a church commit to doing this for these parents and for these kids? And you are all going to say, we do. And then we will we'll end after that. Sound good? All right. So baby dedications, what are they and why do we do them? All right, well, baby dedications remind us of two things from the parent's perspective. First, it is a recognition that parenting is discipleship. Parenting is discipleship. But second, discipleship happens best in the context of a church. And so I want us to look at what I think is the most important passage in the entire Bible on parenting. And I preached on this last summer, and so it might be kind of familiar. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." All right, so in Deuteronomy 6, God gives Israel what Jesus would later call the greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then notice what Moses says immediately after that. He says, teach them diligently to your children. The greatest commandment is immediately followed by a call to parenting as discipleship. Teach these commandments to your children. And then it goes, he elaborates on like what it looks like to do this. You know, he says, teach them when you're going about your way, or when you're sitting in your house, or when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, as you go about your life raising your children, take the opportunity to teach them about God. Parenting is discipleship. Now, we have all kinds of goals for our children. You might think about, you know, what you want for your children, and we think, okay, well, you know, we want our kids to graduate from high school, maybe go to college. Now, we want them to be financially independent. We want them someday to have a place of their own. Maybe we want them to get married, maybe have children of their own someday. You know, and we want them to be happy. We've got all these goals for our kids. What priority do you place on your kids' faith? Right? When you think about all the energy and time and money that you invest in education or sports or friendships, you know, do we spend that much time and energy on their faith? Parents, the greatest gift that you can give your children is to raise them in faith. Right? Jesus told us the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came that we might live the life that we were created to live. Jobs come and go. Money comes and goes. Houses, cars, toys, possessions, all of those things, those all come and go. And if you put your hope in those things, life is going to beat you down. But Jesus will not. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And if you instill this thought in them, right, that life has meaning, that they have a purpose, that there's a God out there who loves them and that he can be trusted, your kids are going to have far more than anything else that you can give them. And the best way to pass this faith on is through Christian community. Now, when our oldest two kids were babies, we taught them basic sign language. And if you've never kind of heard this idea why parents might do this, the idea is that little kids understand language more or earlier than when they can communicate. And so there's this window, and honestly, it's not really that wide of a window, which is why we didn't do it for Luke. Or maybe it's just thank you, Steve. You know where I was going with that. You can judge me on that. We got lazy. But for our oldest two, there's a window between, you know, I don't know, 6 months, 2 years, where they understand what you're saying, but they just can't talk back to you. And so in that window, if you teach them some basic signs, it can be easier for you to communicate with them. They can communicate their needs back to you. So like, for instance, this right here, anybody remember what that is? More. All right. You guys have done this with your kids. All right. So, you know, you're feeding the kid. They can tell you if they want more. I think this is all done. For us, we just told them, oh, look at this. We're getting the hand waves. All right. Well, you guys are doing this. All right. We had our kids just raise their hands. That was it for all done. All right. So once you can communicate back and forth with your kids, it opens up a lot of doors for parenting. Because now parenting is not just me meeting your needs. Now there's a little bit of a relationship and I can start teaching you things. So with Zach, early on, we decided, you know, okay, we're going to teach him with sign language about what we do at mealtime. And specifically, we're like, we're not going to let him leave the table until he tells us that he's all done. It's kind of like a precursor to having your kids ask to be excused before they leave the table. So we're like, we're going to start early. We're going to work on this with Zach. And so we decided to do that with him. And I don't know how old he was. I'm really bad at judging these things, but I mean, maybe a year, maybe 8, 9, I don't know, but he's little, in a high chair. And the sign we gave him for all done, hands up in the air. And we taught him the sign, and after a few goes at it, I could tell that he got it. And now knowing Zach, who he is, I know he'd got it. I knew he knew. And now this sets the stage for the showdown that was to come. All right. After dinner one day, he was done eating, and I tried to give him the cue for, okay, are you all done? And get him to do the sign to tell me he was done, and he wouldn't do it. So I kept giving him the cue. Are you all done? No response. And so I let him sit in his chair, and eventually, you know, he started getting a little squirmy, you know, and I said, all right, are you all done? Nothing, no response. So I let him sit some more. And eventually he got upset and he started like doing this angry screech at me, right? And I was like, are you all done? No response, okay? And he looked at me with these eyes, okay? He gets this furrowed brow. He's like, you know the look, Brooke, right? He's like, still does it. He's 14. And I can getting red in the face, and I could see in his eyes, he was telling me, I'm not gonna do it. And I know he understood me. I know he was little, but I know he knew. And I know he knew what he had to do, and he was flat out refusing. And so I was like, all right, well, he needs to learn that I'm the dad, and he's the child, right? So I sat with him, and it became this battle of wills. And I wanted to show him that no matter how hard he pushed me, I was not going to push over. And so we sat there together for 3 hours, okay? And he was mad. He was mad. He was giving me the stink eye and like angry cry, furious at me. And the standoff ended when he fell asleep in his chair. Okay, you know, so I carried him up. I put him in bed, right? Next morning at breakfast, he eats his food. When he's done, I said, "Are you all done?" Immediately, he did it. Immediately, okay? All right, I knew he knew. All right? Now, here's where I'm telling you this story, and it's not going where you think it is, okay? We had home group later that week, and I told this same story exactly as I told it to you to my home group. And I was feeling pretty good about myself because I lasted 3 hours and taught my son a valuable lesson. But there was a couple in the group who earlier that year had lost a teenage son to suicide. And the mom said to me, "You know, I think back to all the battles that I had with him, and I just wish I hadn't done that." She said, we would butt heads over the smallest things, and it would turn into a battle of wills, and I just wish I hadn't done that. And I needed to hear that, right? I needed to hear the perspective of another parent from my church who had been further down the road than I had. Because my kids, they're not like me. And the strategies that my parents used on me that worked for me, they don't work on my kids. And the same with Brooke. The strategies that Brooke's parents used on her that worked with her, they don't always work on our kids. All kids are different. And you learn how to parent as you go. But there are no redos and there are no mulligans. I saw on Facebook a meme a while back that said, I like this, it said, "I never realized as I was growing up that I was also watching my parents grow up." That's true. That's true. You learn as you go, and there's no mulligans. So I'm grateful that I had, I'm grateful I had my church in that moment. Because my parents were great parents. Brooke's parents were great parents, but neither of them have all the answers. And in that moment, I needed to hear from somebody else. And so I was glad that I had them. And here's where I'm going by telling you this story. Parenting is the hardest thing you will ever do. And you need your church. The greatest gift that you can give your children is to raise them in the faith. And you need your church for that. But dedications, they're not just for parents. They're also about you, about the church. And so I also have a message for the church today. Those of you who are parents here, who are here today to dedicate your children, now is the time when you can get up and go get them. We're going to be ready for you in just a few minutes. So now you can go. All right. I trust that you're going. All right. So I do have a message for the church today. And that message is, we need these children. We need these children. Matthew 18. Says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and he said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like these children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" And here's the message. So here's the message that Jesus has for you, church, through this passage. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, you need to become more like your children. Did Jesus mean that? I think he did. I think that if Jesus joined us today for worship, I think he would be dancing in the aisles with the kids. And I think after church, he'd be climbing the trees with the kids. I think he might even be complaining about how boring the sermon was. I don't know. But I do know this. Jesus lifted up children as models. And so here's my challenge for you, church. Children need to be more than just welcome here. They need to be welcome here as children. Meaning that we need to expect them to act like children and not like adults. One of the tasks of parenting, you know, is to teach your children how to survive in the adult world, right? You gotta have to teach them manners. You gotta teach them how to act like a grown-up, and it's just, you gotta teach them to be responsible. It's just one of the main tasks of parenting. But children are children, and they should always be expected to act like children and not like adults. Sometimes the way that we respond to children in our parenting has more to do with our own anxiety about their behavior and not as much to do with their well-being and what they actually need from us. Now, my kids are angels, right? I know that, and you know that. But you might be surprised to hear that once or twice in their lifetime, they have actually acted out in public, okay? I know it's hard to believe. But when they do that, what happens? Okay, first, I start to get anxious, right? And then I might even have a thought of, what will people think about me when they see my kid acting like that? And when I have those thoughts, my concern in that moment is more about my anxiety about the situation than it is about my children and their well-being. Kids are kids, right? And they're going to act like kids, and that's okay. And we need to be very careful about how we respond to kids when they act like kids. Because Jesus tells us the opposite, right? He says, you need to become like them. Kids trust their parents, right? They don't worry about their 401ks. They don't worry about the price of gas, right? They just trust, oh, my parents got that figured out, right? Jesus wants us to have that same attitude towards God. He's got it figured out. He's got it figured out. So we can learn from our children. We need them. So the message for the parents is that parenting is discipleship, and you need your church. The message for the church is that we need these children. We need these children. Thank you. We need to create an environment where they're not just welcome, but they're welcome as children, because there's much that they can teach us about faith. All right, with that in mind, I want to move to the dedication. So parents who are dedicating children, you can go ahead and make your way to the front with the kiddos. So for every child, we have a small gift that we're going to give them, and then I'm going to let you know the meaning of their name, and then we have a verse to read for everyone. And then once we've introduced everyone, I've got some commitments. I'm going to say, parents, do you commit to doing this? And they're going to say, we do. And then I've got commitments for you. I'm going to have you stand later, and then commitments to you, congregation. Do we commit to doing this for the family? And you're going to say, we do. All right, so logistically, this is the fun part, right? Seeing if, that's a good sound. Thank you, Phil. All right, should we start with Bo? I remember those days. Okay. Here we go. It's okay. I know, I'm scary. Here, I'll stand really far away from you. Here, I'll come over here. Think. All right, this is Bo. Bo's here with his parents, Jonathan and Chelsea. Yes. Bo is French for beautiful, and certainly is a handsome guy. All right, Bo's verse is 1 Samuel 1:27-28. It says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given to the Lord. It's a good verse. Good guy. All right. We'll do Elizabeth next over here. Let me take that. Gotta find where I got Elizabeth near. All right. Elizabeth Krauskopf, she's here with her parents, Ben and Rachel, and also with Luke and James. Elizabeth means my God is abundant. And the verse we have for Elizabeth is Zephaniah 3:17, which says, the Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Great verse, great verse. All right. We've got two here with the Adams, Brig and Rosalyn. Yeah, one for each of you. Do you want to hold this one? This one's for you. You are welcome. Here you go, Brig. All right. And Brig and Rosalind Adams are here with Brandon and Heather, their parents. And we're going to start with Brig. He is named after a town in the Swiss Alps. I heard it's an awesome town, and that is a very cool name. Right? Did I get that right? Yeah, okay. And his verse is Colossians 2:7, which says, let your roots... Yeah, you see him? Hey, I see him too. Hey, Matt. All right. Let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him, so that you will grow in the faith, strong and vigorous in the truth that you were taught. Let your life overflow with thanksgiving for all that he's done. All right, and then we have Roslyn. That's you, right? Do you know what your name means? It means little rose. Did you know that? That's a cool meaning for your name. Yeah. Okay. For Rosalind, we have Numbers 6, 24 through 26, which is, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face toward you and give you peace. Cool verse. Okay, next we have Charles, right? Yes. Here you go. You're welcome. Let me find Charles here. All right, Charles Berman here with Shannon and John. Charles' name means strength. You going to show us how strong you are? I like it. That's good. All right. You have a cool verse. Yeah, he's like, this is mine. I heard him. He said it was for me. I love it. All right. His verse is Joshua 1:9. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Cool verse for Charles. All right, and then finally we have Hudson. Hudson Saucier is here with Philip and Megan. Can I scoot in here between you guys? All right. And his name means mind, heart, or spirit. And so we've chosen 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14 as a verse for him. It says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage and be strong, do everything in love. Great verse for him. It's very cool. Okay. Bristol, right? Yes. Okay. Let's start with Bristol. All right. Bristol Mundell. And Bristol is here with her parents, Jeff and Nicole. And then sister or no?
Sister and brother.
Oh, okay. Okay. I wasn't sure who was. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Allie and Chase, right? Yes. Okay. In the children's ministry. All right. Bristol means by the bridge. And her middle name is Faith, and you said because that's something that you want to instill faith in Jesus in her. That's great. So for Bristol Faith, we have Zephaniah 3:17, and I want to get her gift right here. Mom, do you want to take that? I know, doesn't that look awesome? It's even purple. That's the best. All right, let me read. This is Zephaniah 3:17. I'm just lay hands on here as I read this. The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Cool verse. Very good. All right. Next, let's do Sullivan next. All right. Here you go. Looks good, doesn't it? Yeah, look at that smile. He's like, yes, is it food? I love it. Yes, I'm feeling the same thing. All right. Sullivan's here with Sean and Kate, and his name means eyes or sight. And so for Sullivan, we have 1 Corinthians 13, 12. I'm going to read this over you. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. I like that verse too. Man, hey, if your parents ever say that they're upset, I don't believe a word of it. You're happy all the time, all the time. You're the easiest baby on earth, right? I'm just kidding. All right. Silas, right? Okay, here you go, Dad. We have Silas Rogers. Can I sneak in between you? Thank you, that was a good call. Here with Matt and Carrie. Hi. And Brother Benjamin. How you doing, Benjamin?
Good.
He's doing good. All right, that's great. Silas means woods or forest. And his parents said that we prayed that his faith would have deep roots. I like that. All right, a good verse for Silas, Colossians 2:7. I'm just going to lay hands on here as I read this. It says, let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him so that you will grow in the faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your life overflow with thanksgiving for all that he's done. Cool verse. That's that. Okay. All right, and then finally we have Isaac. Thanks. I'm making you dance over here. Okay. I appreciate that. Oh, you made it up here. We heard that you were on crutches, and I wasn't sure. Oh, you're going to hold that? Yeah, you can have that. Okay. Isaac Crawford. She's like, where's mine? No, okay. Isaac's here with Ryan and Jennifer and sister Olivia. You gonna help him open that? Whoop, I probably shouldn't stand here because of the feedback. Sorry about that. Okay, if you know the Bible story, you might know Isaac means laughter. I know you guys wanted to say it. You're just a little nervous. Yeah, Isaac means laughter. And you actually have a cool story about the name, I heard, right? That Isaac was born to be kind of the beginning of all this chaos 2 years ago. And that was the name you liked for him. But when he was born, the doctor kind of made a comment that made you guys laugh really hard, and that kind of solidified the name. I love that. A good verse for Isaac is 1 Samuel 1, 27 to 28, and I'm going to read it over here. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. Now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. Good verse. All right. Okay, so I've got a couple commitments for you. So I'm going to, last service I said we're going to read them all, and then you guys say I do it, we do at the end, but everybody was just saying it every time, so we're just going to go with that. After everyone, just say we do. There's five of them, and then I've got three for the rest of you. So parents, do you receive this child with gratitude as God's gift to you and your family? You do, all right. Do you commit yourselves to strengthening your marriage and creating a home in which your child can grow in his or her faith? Great. Do you commit to growing in your own faith, recognizing that your child learns the most about God and his ways by watching you? Good. Do you commit to maintaining a faith-filled home in which Jesus is not just honored on Sunday, but in which all of your family's decisions are made for the glory of God? And then finally, do you commit to being parents of patience and grace, recognizing that parenting is not an 18-year commitment, but a lifelong journey, that you will do some things right, you will make mistakes, and that each day we begin again? All right, awesome. Okay, let's everybody else stand. I've got some commitments for you as well. And we'll just do this the same way. You can say we do after every one. Believers Fellowship family, do you commit to supporting this community of faith where these children will be taught in both word and deed to know, love, and serve God according to the scriptures?
We do.
All right. Do you covenant together to maintain an environment in your church that will inspire in these children a desire to follow Jesus?
We do.
All right. And then finally, Believers Fellowship, do you commit to loving these children as you would your own children? To be patient with them as you would your own children? To encourage them as you would your own children? And to serve and sacrifice for them as you would your own children?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Can we get a round of applause for our families here? All right, you guys can turn to your seat. Awesome, great job. The kids did great too. I love the sounds, I love the sound. All right, everybody, you may be seated. Look, you knew it was up. You're like, it's time to sit down. All right, we are going to close today by joining Jesus at the table. So Sean, you weren't allowed to sit down. You had to come back up, right? Yeah. The band's gonna come back up. We've got another song to sing. While we sing, I'd also love to pray for you. I'm going to be standing back there in that corner. Steve Roddy, I heard you were standing back there. You've been voluntold. I love it. Anything going on in your life, big or small, we'd love to pray for you. If you didn't grab your communion elements, Dave's in the back there. You can still grab them right now. All right, now we spent some time in Deuteronomy 6 this morning, and I said in my message that I feel like Deuteronomy 6 is the most important passage in the Bible on parenting. And we read verses 4 through 9 that talk about the importance of teaching your children the commandments. But perhaps the more significant verses are verses 20 through 25. And this is what they say. It says, when your son asks you in time to come, what's the meaning of these testimonies and statutes and rules that the Lord has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all of his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are to this day. and it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. As important as the commandments were, perhaps more important was the story, right? He's like, parents, tell your kids the story. We were slaves in Egypt, and God rescued us. The story is what God has done for us. You may have noticed we gave all the parents a gift. If you're curious about what was in those bags, it was a children's Bible. So parents, tell your kids the story of God and start early. Start early and don't ever stop. Brooke told me that a couple years ago, she was really stressed out about something and she was praying about it and it was still really bothering her. And so she asked our kids to pray with her about it. And Zach said to her, he said, Mom, I'm going to pray with you, but I'm not going to worry with you because you've read me too many missionary biographies for me to doubt that God is going to take care of us. We need our kids and we need to tell them the story. Now, every week we close our service together, our worship service, by reminding ourselves of the story that Jesus Christ died to save sinners, but he has risen from the dead. He has defeated sin and death, and he is returning. And there's a reason that we call this time, this Lord's Supper, there's a reason we call this time communion. It's a reminder to ourselves of our union with Christ through faith and our union with each other as the body of Christ. Now, Mother's Day can be a tough day for people who really want to be a mom but are not. And they may have heard my stories about, you know, how tough it is to be a parent, and they may have thought, like, you know what, I would do anything to get to experience that. Well, in the Gospels, there's a story in which Jesus' biological family was looking for him. They couldn't find him. And some guy comes up to Jesus, he finds him, and he says, hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And Jesus says, well, who's my mother and who are my brothers and sisters? And then it says, you know, pointing out to his disciples, and he says, here they are. Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. The church is the family of God. And while knowing that and remembering that, it might not immediately heal the pain of childlessness. I hope if you're experiencing that you will know right now in this moment that you are loved and that you have a family. Now, the pain that you feel, it's real. It's real. But I want you to know that you have mothers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in this congregation. And they need you. We're a family. Will you stand with me as we join Jesus at the table? The Apostle Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for these young families dedicating their children here today. It was fun thinking back to the early days of raising babies, and I'm glad I'm through it. But I pray for them that you would give them courage, that you would remind them every day of the importance of the work that they're doing. I pray for grace on our behalf, that we would know when to offer wisdom and know when to keep our mouths shut, but that we would be quick to showering them with grace and love. We thank you for the children. in this congregation. We thank you for the things that they teach us about God. And Father, I just pray that we would never grow up, that we would always be childlike in our faith, that we would always look to you for security and for our confidence. We thank you for Jesus. It's our confession that he died on the cross for sins, but he is risen again. He has defeated sin and death. He's returning. And we just ask that you be glorified in our worship right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.